Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to Catch Up with Louise McSharry. This is the podcast which tries to keep you up to date on everything, really. All the top line important bits, from the news to the world of entertainment and celebrity, and bringing you interviews with people who are doing interesting stuff or have something important to say. And today is that interview episode. For some time now, I've wanted to speak directly to someone impacted directly by what's happened over the last 6 months in Gaza. And lately, I have actually felt that feeling intensify. I think it's really difficult as human beings to remain engaged with something at a very high level when it's as horrifying as this genocide for like a really long sustained period of time. And I think we are all shocked and appalled and upset that it has been going on for 6 months. And I'm not happy about this or proud of it, but I think it's important to be honest that lately I could feel myself kind of hardening a little bit. It's not that I care less. It's just that it's gone on for so long now and we've been exposed to so many horrors. You can't feel yourself kind of becoming desensitized. And I was really not happy about that. And it also made me wonder if other people were feeling the same. Then I was flicking through TikTok last week, as you know I do, and I came across a post from today's guest, Dr. Wala Alabsi, who is a dentist from Gaza, who actually came to Ireland just in September to complete a master's degree. I thought it was time. I was so happy when she agreed to speak to me about her experience of being here while her family are doing everything they can to survive in Gaza and what we can do directly to help. Let's start with where you're from and how you ended up in Dublin.
Oh, that's a great story, actually. Well, I'm from Palestine, specifically Gaza. I came to Ireland after a long year of preparation to study my master's here in UCD. I was selected by the government of Ireland to become an ICA scholar, which is a full year scholarship for students from Palestinian territories. And here I am since September here.
And you, what did you have to do to be selected? You're a dentist.
Yeah, I am a dentist. Mm-hmm. And the scholarship, actually the base of scholarships is to go through the selection process and writing essays and selection universities and majors and stuff and going into interviews. So this process would take about over 9 months. And after these 9 months, you get selected. And if you get selected, you'd be lucky enough and privileged enough to come here. And the process is that people or like professionals from the Irish embassy or like working with the Irish embassy would come to Gaza and come to the West Bank and interview students and just talk to students and see what's their ambitions and what's their goals for their country and stuff. And
wow.
Yeah.
So it's a really big achievement to get the scholarship and to get to come here.
Oh, yeah. And as a dentist, I chose to do public health. I've always been interested in that. And that what drove me actually to pursue an academic or not clinical major, which is a whole lot of diversions from being a dentist.
Okay. So you come here in September.
Yeah.
How was it to arrive here and be in a completely different situation?
Actually, as I was saying, this is my first time ever being in a European country.
Mm.
So it's a very big experience and it's a very new environment and a new culture.
Mm.
I've always had friends who would come to Gaza and who would come to Palestine, and we just chat and work together in different settings and stuff. But to actually come here and move here and live, study and meet residents in Ireland is a whole different experience.
Mm.
I wasn't prepared for it, but it kind of flew with the days.
Mm.
And it's been lovely, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about growing up in Gaza. Tell me about it from your perspective as someone who it was just home.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, where should I start? Growing up in Gaza is difficult on its own, but it's kind of beautiful.
Mm.
I'm not gonna romanticize the struggle.
Yeah.
But it is beautiful. Mm. I was born in 1996. So it was kind of a rough era for people there. And we always say that we only grew up with conflict and wars and stuff and the whole political situation and the whole occupation. So as I was growing up, the first war I witnessed was in 1919. Actually, my parents witnessed that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I witnessed the first one when I was in the seventh grade, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
But before I go into that side, I'm going to talk about how lovely it is to grow there with the beach and with family and friends, because it's a very tiny place.
Yeah.
And like you could go from the way east to the way west and from north to south in just a matter of 30 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. With a car, in a car.
Yeah.
So this is how small Gaza is, and it's packed.
Yeah. Like
in one complex, you'd find thousands and hundreds of people living, and it's just so well packed that everywhere there's like tall buildings and houses and people are like everywhere. It's like too many.
Yeah. I can imagine that would be a bit tricky. You probably don't get away with much, I feel like, if there's always people around, you probably wouldn't be able to have very many secrets.
No. That's Arab culture, actually. Okay. That's not only in Gaza. That's everywhere.
Yeah, it's a bit like Ireland, actually.
Oh.
Everybody knows everybody. There's always someone you know around a corner. You have to be very, very careful if you want to do anything secretive.
Yeah, yeah.
And so is it the kind of place where people, everybody knows their neighbors? You know, there's a large community. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Personally, I wouldn't know too many people, but ask my father. He would know every single person in Gaza Strip. I'm not talking about Gaza City, but in Gaza Strip.
Right.
They would know this family and where it came from and what happened to them. How did they come to Gaza? How did they end up in Gaza? What's their story? Every single man or every single woman in Gaza would know that.
Yeah.
This is how well integrated people are in Gaza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think that kind of connectivity is just part of Arab culture, as you said, or do you think it's down to the fact that there is kind of a collective trauma, for want of a better word, or the fact that so many people there have survived so much?
Actually, that's a very good question. And it's going to be because of both.
Yeah.
Yeah. To have been into so many situations and so many circumstances together kind of puts you in a very conversational way of living. And the Arab culture, of course, plays a role, and being in the Middle East plays a role as well. But I think, being under the same circumstances would put you in a more connected relationship with each other. Because let's talk about my family, for example. The way we spend our day is that my father would go to work and we would go to work in the morning, and then afternoon till night until the end of the day, they would go down. My father would have like this warehouse where he sits and works and stuff and have friends over. And this happens every day.
Right.
And this is the case for every single person and for every single neighbor in my neighborhood. And so is everywhere in Gaza.
Okay, so it's not people sitting in their sitting rooms and watching TV on their own as it is here.
Absolutely not, no.
Okay.
No, no. Isolation is zero there.
Yeah.
It's so different than here.
And tell me, as a child, what was it like, you know, when you were playing with your friends? You know, do you remember kind of when you first became conscious of there being a difference in where you lived to maybe in other places?
I don't quite remember much, to be honest, and I don't know why. But I remember when I started going to kindergarten and going to primary school, that we would travel like about 30 minutes to go to camps where schools were.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I remember from primary school. As for my kindergarten, I don't remember much, but I had friends. And it was just a beautiful childhood.
Good.
Yeah. It was so beautiful that this time of a year, and with what's going on, I say that everybody says that I wish it these times would come back.
Yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah.
So you mentioned there that the first time that you kind of were in a war was when you were in seventh grade. So around 12, 13? No, younger?
Yeah, probably. It's 2007, 2008.
Okay.
And this was my first ever experience. I've heard a lot about it. My parents experienced it, my grandparents experienced it, and everybody in the family. But as a child who is just freshly born in life, this is my first ever experience, actual experience in it. And it would... I still remember it to this day.
What I mean, obviously only talk about what you're comfortable talking about, but what do you remember of that time from your perspective as a child?
Oh, I remember the day it started. I remember it clearly. Like, it's stuck in my mind. It's engraved in my mind that I'll never forget it, I swear. I was doing this exam, this final year exam. It was in December, and I was in school. I had my sister as well with me. She was in a different class, but while we were doing this exam, we suddenly, out of nowhere, heard tons of explosions, and nobody understood anything. It was the first time that this ever happens in Gaza, this intense. I remember everybody starting screaming, and the teacher in class would tell us just to go out. And some kids, because they live close by to the school, would go home. And while me and my sister were like so far away that a driver and a bus driver would have to pick us up and drive us back home.
Yeah.
But luckily for us, we had... our aunt lived by the
nearby,
school. Yeah, nearby. And I took my sister and I went there, not knowing a clue in what has happened or what's going to happen.
You must have been so scared.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember. And that's not only the case because we haven't been able to contact. I remember that we haven't been able to contact my family for a while. And... like, a few hours passed by while at my aunt's house. Everything just out of nowhere closed and shut down. And clashes started. Rockets coming down. And I remember this day, the amount of casualties that has happened. It was so intense that I remember that a whole police station got bombed.
Wow.
Yeah, and a lot of cops and a lot of police and... yeah, were killed in that day. And that led to me staying at my aunt's house for a whole week with nothing but my school clothes. Until my father walked for over like a whole hour and picked us up, and then we went back home.
Yeah. I think it's important to talk about these things because...
this is my first time ever speaking about it.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you doing that. Like, I think it's really generous And I think that it's really important for people to realize, and I think that most Irish people do realize, that obviously the current conflict was not born out of nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
It did not come from a vacuum, that, you know, conflict has been going on for quite some time, and that the people of Gaza have suffered a lot. So when you're talking about that experience for you as a child, I'm thinking about your younger sister who you've posted on your Instagram, because I saw that one of the things that you're struggling with at the moment is the fact that your beautiful little sister, who's 20 years younger than you, now knows about so many things that you wish she didn't know about.
Yeah, because I know how that feels.
Because exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I exactly know how that feels. And I would not wish it to any child in this world or any human being, to be honest.
Mm.
And the fact that she grew up, she was born like, let's say, 7 years ago. And in those 7 years, we had about 3 to 4 wars.
Mm.
And that's genocide.
Mm.
So it's insane. It's insane to even think that a child would have this only reality.
Mm.
It's insane.
I mean, I completely agree. So let's go back to September then. You have succeeded in achieving this amazing thing of getting the opportunity to come here. You arrive, you experience the culture shock of being in a country like this, which I can only imagine what that was like.
And the weather.
The weather, sorry about that. Yeah. We don't like it either.
Actually, it was lovely, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. We don't have to defend the weather. But then obviously you're only here for a month. And then
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I arrived around the 5th of September.
Okay.
So yeah, 3 weeks.
And then obviously everything changed on the 7th of October.
Yeah, everything turned upside down.
Where were you when you heard that this had happened?
I was sleeping in my dorm room. I think I remember it was 7 a.m. My time. So it was 9 a.m. Gaza time.
Mm.
I remember my mother and brothers, little brother, calling me and video WhatsApping me and telling me, wala, wala, look, open the news, check what happened.
Mm.
And I closed instantly and I opened the news and I was just, oh my God.
Mm.
Oh my God. I knew something bad is going to happen after that.
Mm.
I was horrified.
Mm.
Like, out of experience, you know, when 7th of October happened and you, it's gonna be horrendous and it's gonna be horrifying what's gonna happen to us.
Mm.
But out of denial, we kept on telling ourselves, no, nothing's gonna happen, it's gonna be fine, we've survived a lot like this.
Mm.
But apparently we were wrong. So
yeah, tell me a little bit about your family. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
We're 4 and 4.
Okay.
We're 4 girls and 4 boys.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, so we make a team.
10 people in your house.
Yeah, 10 people in the house. And I'm the oldest.
Okay, holy moly. And tell me about your house. How did it work in bedrooms and stuff?
Oh, that is a very complicated story because we lived with our grandparents.
Okay.
So to be living with your grandparents, it's going to be settled no matter whatever you think. And my dad is a lonely child.
Okay.
So we had this building and it was like 3 stories or like 4 stories. And each story would have 2 apartments.
Okay.
The first level would be for my grandparents. Second level and third level would have like big apartments that we would crash into.
Okay.
So we took a whole story for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 5 bedrooms. So me and my sister shared a bedroom.
Mm.
My other sister shared a bedroom, had a bedroom, had her own one, actually.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah.
And this is the middle child. And 2 of my brothers had one. And yeah, it was like all over the place.
I'm interested because I feel like that kind of lends itself to understanding the connections that you have as siblings. Yeah. I think when you share rooms, it kind of intensifies the bond a little bit.
Exactly.
So I presume your house was busy fighting, loving, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And are they all in Gaza still, except for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the only one out.
Okay. So... Yeah. you have this beautiful family, your brothers and sisters who you love, a huge age range. How old is the oldest and how old is the youngest?
I'm the oldest.
You're
I'm
the
27.
Oldest. Okay.
And the youngest is 7.
Okay. So presumably you feel, my youngest sister is 15 years younger than me.
Oh
and
my God.
Our connection is different. It is different because is different. I changed her nappy and I babysat her and, you know, it's a different kind of thing.
She slept with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you must feel kind of a little bit maternal towards those, the youngest.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Especially the youngest too. My sister and my little brother. So.
Yeah. And they're, how old are they?
My brother is about to turn 12. Uh-huh. And my little sister is 7.
Yeah. Okay. So you get this news. You feel like something terrible is happening. And then unfortunately, the absolute worst.
I knew it inside.
Has happened.
Yeah, I knew it.
How are you surviving?
I'm not. Or should I rephrase that? I'm numb. Mm. Yeah, it's just that numbness. I'm in complete and utter denial, if I may say it.
Yeah.
Because I'd love, actually, for someone to come and tell me that this was April Fool's or...
Yeah.
And all this we've lost to not lose, and all those who have been killed and have been killed and just come back. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I know the people are probably the most important, but how is it to know that, I actually feel bad asking you this question, but how is it to know that you won't be able to go back to the same place that you left?
I don't know. Mm. Yeah. I absolutely have no idea how it feels. I know that my whole world turned upside down. Mm. That I know for sure. I know that we're not actually functioning on the normal timeline of people anymore. Mm. Because it's a half a year, so a half a year would take a lot of your life.
Yeah.
So all those plans are cancelled, all those ambitions have to be altered, and all those, I don't know, future steps, let's say, have to be changed.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And how have your family been, like, what have they had to do? I presume they've had to leave their home.
They've left. I remember the fifth day of this genocide, I received a call. It was 3 a.m. my time, so 5 a.m. their time. Mm. I received this WhatsApp call telling me that they got bombed. And everybody was screaming on the call. And I remember clearly that my sister saying that Salim is bleeding, who is my oldest brother. And we don't know what happened. And everything is dusty and everything is on us. The windows have fallen, the doors have fallen. And they just started running in the streets afterwards. Mm. And the phone call just dropped. And I tried to call them like too many times. Mm. Until they picked up, like, after 10 minutes or, like, so, to finally know that they got out of the house before they actually pop it again. Yeah. Yeah. And I was alone in my dorm
room. So you're alone in your dorm room in UCD.
Yeah.
Waiting.
Yeah.
For 10 minutes. It must have felt like a lifetime.
Yeah.
So they got out, though.
They got out. And the first call they answered after they got out of the house was that my sisters were in a neighbor house and my brothers, they didn't know where they were. So they didn't know news about each other. Mm. It's like running for your life, actually.
Yeah. Literally.
Exactly. And my brother got sent to the hospital with my father and my other siblings. We don't know where, and it's a chaos. So you can imagine.
Yeah.
And after a few calls and after a few hours, they got to know where everyone is. Mm-hmm. And they called me and told me that we're fine and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And here we are.
So they had...
Everything started.
Yeah. And they had no... So they couldn't go back home.
Oh, no.
And did they... I mean, I presume they weren't able to, like, bring things with them.
Nothing. But after, like, let's say 5 to 6 hours, my brother risked his life and went back to bring some documents, IDs, and just the most important stuff, and just went back. None of my other family members were able to go with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then where did they go? Where did they...
This was the first time they moved. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, I think they stayed for a day with my neighbors, with mm-hmm. our neighbors. And afterwards, they moved to a second home, my aunt's. Mm. And after this, my other aunt's. Mm. And after this, they went to the middle area. And after the middle area, they went to Rafah, mm. where they lived in tents and were houses. And they've spent like lots of time there. And then they're over the place now.
Okay.
Going back from Rafah to middle area and middle area to Rafah, looking for safety as if there's any.
Mm.
But there isn't. And this has been the case for like 6 months.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
No.
Yeah. Are you sleeping?
I wasn't, but currently, because I don't know if I'm adapting. I'm not adapting, but yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And are you able to study? I mean, how are you?
I wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't. And if I had one wish other than this genocide to end, is that I want to redo my master's. Yeah. I swear.
I feel like you should be given that chance. I mean, you mentioned to me earlier when you arrived that UCD have been very supportive, and I think that's really great to hear.
They actually have. Yeah. My professors and my classmates have been very supportive.
Yeah.
But no matter what support you receive, nothing's going to help you at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be boiled.
Yeah.
And everything's going to be postponed.
And this is not exactly, because this is not the experience that you came here to have. Like, exactly. You came here to learn, and yeah, that's not possible. And I think that's completely understandable. And I really hope if there's any justice in the world, you will get an opportunity to do it again.
But thankfully, and thank God, the last 2 months, let's say, I've been able to just get a hold of things.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the reason that I got in contact with you is because I was on TikTok, which I do all the time, and you made a TikTok saying that you've done your best over these last 6 months, but it's gotten to the point now where you feel like you have to do something for your family. So you've started a GoFundMe. And when I saw that, I got in touch with you straight away, and I really wanted to chat to you about it, because I know that there are lots of people in Ireland who feel quite powerless, and that any opportunity to genuinely help someone, I think, will be seized upon. So I wanted to help you get the word out. Tell me about that decision and what it is that you're hoping to do.
Yeah. This is one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to take in my life. And I've had to take on my own without the help of my family. Mm. Because we've reached the point that nothing is stopping.
Yeah.
And nothing is changing. And I know we say that we Gazans say that there are levels of struggle. Mm. Like, we never compare ourselves to those who've lost loved ones, because they are who needs the most care and the most support and the most, I don't know, what can be given to them.
Mm.
But every single person in Gaza have lost a lot. Like, our home now is unlivable.
Mm.
And we don't know if we're ever going to be back to the north. Mm. My brother got injured, and he probably would need another surgery after like a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And these 6 months in Gaza, you know how worse would be that you get to spend all your savings
mm-hmm.
on basic necessities.
I was wondering about that. Because
they are scarce.
Mm.
And because we are an occupied land,
mm.
the occupier would control everything that gets in and out mm. of this land. And they've used starvation and they've used kind of supplies, water, and electricity as a weapon. Yeah, yeah.
Mm. So then I presume, yeah, your family are having to be creative when it comes to trying to get food. And I was wondering about money, and how that works. And like, you know, you can't go to the ATM. Like, how are people...
Savings.
Yeah. But then even the how savings. Does that work? Internet payments?
Gone. Yeah. They're gone for like 7 months. My father hasn't been receiving his salary because... You know, everything's gone and all works are destroyed.
What was his job before?
He used to work at the municipality of Gaza, which is like down. Uh-huh. So it hasn't been able to provide for its employees, of course. I used to be a provider.
Yeah.
But I'm studying now and I'm studying. My sister also used to be a provider and she works at the American school,
mm-hmm.
which is destroyed to the mm-hmm. ground. It's flattened.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's the case. And that is a personal detail, but we've actually spent a lot on our house this year, like 2023.
Yeah.
And you know how everybody just settles in their homes. Mm. And this has been like a really good era for us and for a lot of my friends and family in Gaza, because it's been... People have started to see the results of their hard work eventually. Mm. I don't know how, but it just kind of felt like it was never before.
Yeah.
And you had this hunch inside you that this is not going to be last forever, and it actually didn't. So we've spent all our savings on the house, and my siblings go to university, so we've done their tuitions as well.
Mm.
So it's a lot of... A lot of details that go into that. And the savings got spent in the 6 months. So.
Yeah. So you have to assess then, the reality is you can't go home.
Exactly.
Your beautiful home that you spent money on is gone.
Yeah.
Your savings are gone as a family because you've had to survive. So it makes sense then that you decided that they needed to get out of there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the cost of getting out is tremendous.
How does that work even?
We have, you know, from the south, it's Egypt.
Yeah.
And the other parts are like controlled by the IOF, mm-hmm. Israel. So to get out, you'd either have the Erez crossing, which is controlled by Israel, which is absolutely not working now.
Mm.
And the other border, which is Egypt,
mm.
that you can get out, but with a very big struggle in normal circumstances.
Yeah.
And in wars, I don't know how to even say it, but the current situation is that you're required to pay over 5,000 to 7,000.
Per person.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have a fundraising target of how much?
About 70,000.
70,000, yeah. So I looked at your GoFundMe just there before you arrived, and I think it's at about 26,000 or 25,000.
Yeah.
So you're doing well, but you said there's been a bit of a slump now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I, I know that I have been desperate to do something, and, you know, it made me feel great to be able to contribute to your GoFundMe. And I know that there will be lots of people listening who will feel the same. So the link is in the show notes, guys. Obviously give whatever you can, whatever you're comfortable with. But, you know, this is a tangible way that we can try and do something about this situation. How has it been for you to be in Ireland? Have you felt the kind of support that the Irish people feel for Palestinians?
I actually felt quite lucky. Mm. Yeah. I had no idea that I would be in a place that is going to be as much as supportive as they are. Mm. To be honest, I consider myself lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we kind of feel each other, if I may say, because of the history and the shared history of Ireland and Palestine. And that's why I consider myself privileged.
Yeah.
Yeah, comparing to my other friends who live in different countries.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have... Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah. It's totally different.
Yeah, from what I've seen, it is. Can I ask you, like, having grown up within this conflict, within an occupation, can you make any sense out of the attitude that Israel has towards Palestine?
I have zero. None. Like, it's a simple equation. Why does someone give themselves the right to occupy another? That's it. Yeah, it's a simple equation as the occupier and the occupied. That's it. Mm-hmm. And any sensible person would be able to determine and to sense the right.
So I know that obviously the biggest dream would be if we could turn back time and for this to have never happened in the first place. But what is your current kind of realistic hope for the future?
To be able to help those who are suffering now in Gaza. And I would say that I really want to help those who are injured. Because I know that after this ends, that they're going to be left with their own struggle. Because after every war and after every conflict we go through, I witness them. And I see how they would be fighting to get their basic rights and to get their medication and to get their necessities. And especially with the ongoing situation, and I've seen medical teams go into Gaza, and I've seen people working and helping in these bad times, but afterwards is the most important. And especially with the healthcare infrastructure has been destroyed to the ground. Like, you would say that about 85% of it is gone. And the remaining are only functioning in Rafah and parts of Khan Yunis, which is insane for a population of, let's say, 2.5 million.
Yeah. And do you believe that you will be able to go back?
I wish.
Yeah.
Like, I really do. Like, I really hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And well, because, I'm sorry, my family, I have this big hope inside of them that they want to go back, actually. I don't know if I'm being unrealistic by saying that, as I haven't actually lived what they're living. I've lived it emotionally. Yeah. I've lived it from way apart, which is non-comparable to them living them actually physically and emotionally. So I can never imagine what's going to happen next or what's going to be.
Yeah. Well, I really hope that you are successful with your GoFundMe. I feel very optimistic about it. I think that people really do want to help. If they can get out, will they stay in that part of the world, or would you want them to come here? Or, you know, what do you think? Oh,
that's a big hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. But the main goal is now is to get them safety out of Gaza.
Yeah.
And when they get to Egypt, they actually have no idea what they're going to do next.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have no idea. None of
my friends or my connections who have actually fled Gaza into Egypt know what they're going to do.
Mm.
None of them.
But safety is the first thing. Yeah. Wala, thank you so much for sharing this story with me. I know we were saying earlier, this is a really special time of year for Muslim people.
Yeah.
Because Ramadan has just ended. And today, as we're chatting, because it's Wednesday, is the first day of...
This is the first day of Eid.
But how do you pronounce it?
Eid, yeah.
Yeah. And I know that it's a time that you probably really especially wish that you were with your family. So I'm so sorry that you're not. But I hope that you feel the love that Irish people have for Palestinians.
Yeah.
And I hope that next year at this celebration, you are with your family.
Hopefully, yeah.
I believe it. I think in your culture, you would say inshallah.
Inshallah, yeah. We would say inshallah. And I feel sad that they're not celebrating it probably. But what's there to celebrate, you know? I know we've done our fasting and we're done with this month and I don't know.
Next year.
Yeah, hopefully next year.
Next year.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming here. I know this is the first time that you've done this. I hope you have felt safe and okay in this conversation. I think it's really important for people to hear about experiences like yours and, you know, really understand the way, different ways that this is impacting on people. And again, if you want to donate to the GoFundMe, and I know that you do, the link is in the show notes. We will hopefully, once you're successful, maybe down the line, we'll touch base again, because I know that people would love to hear that.
Hopefully, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Louise, for having me.
So there you go. I mean, I think that that conversation is going to stay with me really for a long time. I want so desperately to help Wala and her family. And I told her, and I really believe this, that you guys are the right people to talk to about this. I know that everybody wants to do something about the situation in Gaza, and I know that a lot of us feel really powerless. And I think that this is a great, tangible way that we can really make a difference to this family. And I would just, I've donated, I think I'm going to donate again. I would really encourage you, if you're in a position to do so, to hit that link, make a donation. You know, if we can get to Wala's fundraising target, she can get her family into safety. And, you know, I can tell that that's the only thing that matters to her right now. It's the thing that she's focusing on. It's the thing that's giving her kind of a reason to keep going, is raising this money and getting her family to safety. And I know that you guys will join me in wanting to do that. So I really, really just hope that we can see a big push for her over this weekend. You can also share the GoFundMe, obviously, on your own social media. I know there's a few of them going around, and not, you know, one is not more important than the other, but I think, you know, if you feel like sharing, that would also be a big help. And I'm going to check back in with her and see how she's getting on, and hopefully we'll talk to her again, and hopefully we'll be on the other side of her family being stuck in Gaza as they are currently. Anyway, some recommendations to finish off the week. I wanted to recommend two things that I came across this week, which I've really enjoyed. The first one is a podcast. And it's funny, I was thinking, when I was in radio, you weren't even allowed to mention other radio stations, that, like, you weren't allowed to acknowledge that other radio stations existed. You would never, ever say their name, like never give them credit if you were quoting from them or whatever, which is so stupid. But I'm recommending a podcast. So technically, I suppose you could argue that I'm sending you away from me and replacing myself, but I think there's room for all of us. I want to recommend Miss Me. It's a question. Miss Me? This is the podcast of Lily Allen and Mikita Oliver. So if you don't know, Mikita Oliver, previously of Pop World, is Lily Allen's lifelong best friend. They got to know each other as very small children because their parents were friends, and they've been best friends ever since. And the premise of the podcast is they have a chat twice a week. The first one is just like a general catch up. They talk about what's going on in their lives and, you know, in kind of a vague way, and touch base on various topics. And then the second one, they have a theme, and people send in voice notes and they kind of talk about the theme and respond to it. And I've always been a big Lily Allen fan. I love these kind of celebrity friendships. I'm just fascinated by them. And I, for a long time, have wondered what Mikita and Lily's friendship looked like, because they seemed quite different. But I still was a bit like, oh God, what's it going to be like? But once I started listening, I really love it.
because they're like actual best friends, I feel like their guards are kind of down and they're giving you juicy little tidbits from their life from growing up in London. And, you know, they lived quite like rock and roll lifestyles and stuff. And I just think if you're a person of a certain age, if you've ever been vaguely a fan of Lily Allen's, if you desperately wanted to be cool and in London in the like 2000s, then this is a podcast for you. As I said, it's called Miss Me. It's on all the usual podcast platforms. It's a BBC Sounds podcast, but you can get it in all the regular places. And yeah, it was a nice little treat for me during the week. The other thing that I'm absolutely bet into is Mary and George. I'm late to this. It came out at the start of March. This is a period drama which is on Sky Atlantic, and so I think you can get it on Now TV as well. And it is the story of the Countess of Buckingham, who is played by Julianne Moore. So she's basically this power bitch who has managed to fake her way into nobility, and she is clinging onto it at all costs for the sake of her and for the sake of her children. And she is just amazing. But her firstborn son has an intellectual disability, which, as I'm sure you can imagine, is not dealt with very sensitively, excuse me, in the, when is it set? I don't know. Olden days? That's a technical term. When is it set? I don't know. Back when there were earls, back in the time of King James anyway. He's, you know, she can't really rely on him to carry on the family name and basically get money because they're broke, because aren't they always broke, the noble people in these programs? But her second born son is this charming and beautiful man. And so King James has this harem of young men who he surrounds himself with. And her plan is to get George, her son, into the king's harem and get him to be top man in the king's harem and, you know, basically become richer and more powerful and the whole family will benefit. That's genuinely not giving that much away at all because I've only watched the first two episodes, but I love it. I really love it. Like, I love anything historical, kind of historical drama. Like, obviously I'm not watching historical documentaries, well, sometimes, but like, you know, not that often. Not like Ozzy Osbourne watching the History Channel nonstop in The Osbournes. That's a reference for all the people who are in their 40s and late 30s. But I just love it. I love how powerful Julianne Moore is. She's great. It's the whole thing. I'm just loving it. If you like that kind of thing, if you like a glamorous historical setting, I think you'll really enjoy it. Mary and George, that's my second recommendation of the week. Okay, my friends, I'm going to bid you adieu. I love you. Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget that I have a show in the Laughter Lounge on May 9th. It's going to be really fun. I'm so looking forward to it. If you want to join us, the ticket link is in the show notes. Don't forget to make a donation if you can to Walla's GoFundMe for her family. And if you want to go and access, I did a rather large, and let me tell you, I researched it for hours, episode on Beyonce's Cowboy Carter. It is over on the Patreon now. That's patreon.com/catchupwithLouiseMacSharry. Thank you so much for being with me this week. Thank you to Acast for having me on the network. I hope you have a lovely weekend. But as I always say, they cannot all be lovely. So if it's not, just put one foot in front of the other and we will meet again next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.